You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned
manufactured
this. The
hand was
jumped into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
A movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Having the St. John's Waltz. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, at that time of the week again, it's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, everybody, this is Marco Bill, and you won't even believe this, but about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, Tom had to attend another meeting. He got carried over into it from this afternoon. So he's on a business meeting right now. So gracefully, Gobble Bob and also Alex have both decided to help out in hosting the show. Gobble Bob's going to take the first half of the show, and Alex Hearn is going to take a second half. And we do have some wonderful guests on the show tonight, some old friends, and some we haven't heard from in a while. And so, Gobble Bob, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing great, Marco. Doing great. How about yourself?
I am. If I was any better, there'd be three of me.
You're as bad as Tom. Yeah, it looks like a great show. I see you got some good friends on here, people we haven't talked to in a while, and it ought to be exciting. I know there's lots of stuff going on. And I'm looking here in the chat room. We got we see that Askro is fully represented. We've got Alex out there, of course, and Phoebe and Tommy, you know, AP. Whole crew's out there. We got a little bit of everybody. And we got our favorite Canadian, Connie, is out there. Connie, good to see you back around. And we missed you when we had the computer problems. And Bill Green, I mean, it wouldn't be a show if I didn't see Bill Green's name up there. You know, he's just involved with everything has to do with Bigfoot anywhere on the web. Great guy. Great guy. So a lot of people out there. We got Bruce from Texas, the Snake Man. We got Tom's, I like the name he uses now, Tom's Gentle Giant, you know. We got Steve out there. Great guy. Steve calls me every now and again, checks in, see what we're doing. And we got Leroy Blevins out there. I don't know if many of you know who Leroy Blevins is. He's done a lot of really fantastic research on a lot of different things. He likes to research things like Bigfoot in the Bible and does some great research and publishes it. He's got his own website out there. He also does things with the Patterson film. He was challenged one time because they said, well, nobody could build a suit like that. By golly, he went out and built one just like it. You know, you see it, you really can't tell the difference between the two. And just a super guy. You know, he's just homespun and does all this stuff on his own. But he is so meticulous and does such a good job when he gets a bug in his head to go figure something out. He goes and does it. Leroy, welcome. Glad you're out there. It's good to see you, my friend. We got JJ out there, and a lot of these names, I don't know who they are. I probably should. GBRI, I really don't know the face that goes with that. And JJ, Mike K in Ohio, these are some of the people that I've seen a few times here, and I've talked to them on the chat room, but I really don't know these people, but I'm sure glad they're out there. You know, it's always nice. And a couple of people go by just guest with their number there. But we got a whole potwad of people out there, I'm glad you're all there, and welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy it. So Marco, have we got our first guest on the line there?
Oh,
I thought I heard him
in
the queue.
JC is ready. He's ready to go. The bit is ready.
The bit is ready. Now, how many of you out there, most of you must know JC Johnson. JC Johnson has I've always admired his voice for radio. He just sounds, he's got such a great speaking voice. And he's out there in the Four Corners area. He works hand-in-hand with Leonard Dan. We call him Chief Dan. He's been out on the road with us many times. Got to be good friends. He's just very thorough. He works with a lot of the paranormal things out there in the Four Corners, not just Bigfoot, but just about everything you can imagine that goes on out there. He's got his fingers on the pulse. And he's with us tonight, and hopefully we'll get him to share some of the stuff that's going on at his neck of the woods. So, JC, you there?
Pleasure to be with you guys. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Awesome! How are you, Bob?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing?
You know, I'm looking forward to you being out at the symposium in September, out at, Angel Fire, isn't it?
That's it, Angel Fire. It's the ASPE, is that what it is, ASPE? Paranormal.
Janet Saylor, what a neat lady, incredible lady. Awesome. And she's got you out here, and that's so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You're going to be there?
Yeah,
I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there? Yeah?
Yes.
This is one of the biggest paranormal get-togethers in the country, isn't it? It's really a big deal.
We're going to be doing something of a amateur film festival type thing, but I've got Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends entered into this particular genre. That's going to be exciting. We're going to see what
it is. Yeah, the theme this year is contact. So,
ooh, contact.
Yeah.
Wow, contact. You know, I was talking to Marco Bill earlier today, and we're filming a trailer in high definition. We finally got a high definition camera that we're working with. And we'd gone out to the same cave that you've been through, that you were in, with the Fox News special not so long ago.
Sure.
And we're going through this cave, and we got up to the mouth of this cave, and there's a bunch of wood stacked up. There's some other wood stacked up. And it was like somebody planned to make a fire. And all of a sudden, they decided they weren't going to make a fire, and they left. And we come upon the scene, and I'm with a good friend of mine, Daryl. He's working with us now.
I know Daryl and his boys. Sure.
Well, this is another Daryl.
You got too many Daryls out there.
He's got Daryl, and his other brother, Daryl. So he's got so many Daryls out here. But
okay.
He came up to the mouth of the cave, and he got concerned way before I did. And he's kind of got a sixth sense about some different things. And we get up on the mouth of the cave, and I went there to shoot some rough stock footage. And I had a full mindset. You know, I had my day rifle, not my night rifle, not my night sights, not any kind of flashlights, nothing. And we came up on this cave that we've had sightings in the past, that Fox News has been through there with you guys and us. It's a known Sasquatch habitation. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just there to get some footage. And the presence we had in the cave at the point in time, I'm like, let's go. Let's leave. We left.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let me explain a little bit about this cave. You know, we went out there and checked it out. It's way out there in the middle of nowhere. You wouldn't think anybody would be able to find it. We got out there, and you could see where these footprints climbed up the side of this hill. And when I say hill, it's steep. You're climbing the rocks to get up to it. We got inside, and we found corn cobs, of all things. Corn cobs. Now, how far away is that from the nearest cornfield?
About a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles.
Yeah. So something carried corn cobs up there, carried corn up there and ate it in the cave. Now, I don't think coyotes do that. I don't think ravens will do that. I don't think any of the typical animals you'd expect to do corn, or deer or anything like that, would do that. There's only one thing I know that would carry it that far and then bring it in and eat it.
Exactly. And this year, as we've started back investigating into the area, we found some fresh corn cobs. But it's from dried corn, so they're getting dried corn from someplace. But this presence just ran us out. I was not prepared for what we found inside the cave. There was something big, bad, and nasty inside this cave, and I was not ready for it. I had a full mindset of something else.
Now, this wood that you found stacked up in there, was that stacked any worse, in any manner similar to what we found when we were up in the Lukachukai?
Not quite. This looked like something of a human endeavor, and they'd started something, and at some point in time, something ran them off, and they decided not to make the fire. They left. But no, you and I have seen some incredible wood stackings and tree markings and trail markings. My goodness. And, you know, if we could read these things, it would be a paragraph in Sasquatch, but we can't read it. We can't read it.
No, we sure can. And, you know, I made a big mistake when we found that one up at Lukachukai. You know, remember that thing came and it was shaking your tent.
Yeah.
And we all went out to look for it and couldn't find anything. But the next morning, this was in the middle of the night, the next morning we came out and searched the area again. Now, we had searched every inch of this place the day before. And we found the footprints, remember, around your tent.
Yep. And yes, we did.
Then we found this place where they'd stacked wood in the fork of a tree right near there, which was not there the day before.
No.
And
all the wood was stripped of its bark. Everything was gone off the wood. It was completely white wood, aged white wood.
And it was all saw cut on one end.
Yes.
And what was weird is that there were other sticks the same size around there that they didn't use. You see where they tossed them aside? Because they weren't saw cut. So there was something particular about them choosing pieces of wood that were saw cut.
Exactly.
Because people go up there, I guess, and gather firewood. And this was not freshly cut. This had been cut quite some time. Like you say, it was all sun bleached and whatnot. But it was moister on the bottom, so we assumed they probably urinated on it. And
yes.
I made a big mistake, didn't I?
And you urinated on it. So you're the boss of the mountain, because they didn't come back in full force to harass us. We were being not hostile, but directly confrontational with everything up there. But not hostile. We weren't hurting anyone or anything, but we were being hostile.
Exactly. Now, the story was from the locals that when they go up there, even if they're armed, these things come and they run them off the mountain. It's their mountain.
Yeah.
They're protecting a water source up there and a good source of game. And we thought, well, if they'll run these people off, if we can be a little confrontational, maybe they'll attempt to run us off and we can get some great pictures. But
well, can you imagine 7 to 12 guys armed with the biggest deer rifles and elk rifles you could imagine and not getting run off this mountain? Eventually, they get run off this mountain. And these guys are armed to the teeth. And they leave. They leave. That's what happened at the cave the other day. And I was there with my friend Daryl. And the presence was there, but I wasn't ready for it. I was there to get some stock footage. We're doing a movie. We're actually working on a movie right now. And
now, for those of you who have not been to the Four Corners website and seen some of the work that JC does, amazing stuff. He'll take a trip down the river and document it with his camera and then put it to music and narrate what's going on there, and it will hold you spellbound. He's very, very talented. So whatever he's working on now, I can tell you right now, I'm already salivating. I can't wait to see him.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate that. You know what? Daryl was there with me. I've got Daryl here with me now. He just happened to roll in. I'm going to let him expound on something from the area and what he felt in the presence in the cave.
All righty.
Good evening.
Hi, Daryl. Welcome to Bigfoot Live Radio Show.
Thank you, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
Well, this is Java Bob. Tom couldn't make it tonight, but I'm doing real good. And I understand you were out there with JC, and you were going to tell us a little bit about what you found out there at the cave.
When we walked up to the cave, I felt something strange. Normally, if I'm going into a situation like this, I will protect myself, but that day I just wasn't ready. We walked up to the cave, and I instantly felt anger radiating from the cave. It just came out of nowhere.
Now, can I stop you real quick and ask you a personal question? Are you
sure?
Dene?
No.
No, okay. Because I know that, you know, we work a lot with Leonard Dan, and his instincts on these types of things have proven to be absolutely flawless. Absolutely flawless. So I was just curious. All right, I didn't mean to interrupt you then.
No, that's okay. I'm not Dene, but I grew up in the area. I grew up in Crown Point, just about an hour south of here. But we walk up to the cave. Before I even see the wood stacked, I could feel the presence there. It just didn't want us there, wanted us to go away. When we saw the wood, it looked like somebody was getting ready to have a small fire just to keep themselves warm while they had a party or whatever it was. But whatever the presence was chased them out.
Wow.
And when the presence felt my mind, it actually probed me. When it felt my mind, it went from anger to curiosity. But when we approached the cave, I felt the presence. I instantly reached for my pistol, because I was carrying, amazingly enough. And John looked at me, and he's just like, JC looked at me, and he just had this shocked look on my face. Then we saw the wood, and he's like, we don't need to be here. Even though we were trying to get the stock footage for the trailer.
So he felt it too. He felt it too at the same time.
He didn't really feel it, but he saw the signs of it. And I just looked at him and said, John, we need to leave. We don't need to be here. Something does not want us here. And we left. As fast as we could, we left.
Wow. You know, no, I've been out in the field many times with JC, and JC is a pretty gutsy guy, really. You know, he's not afraid to face his fears and to deal with things in a direct manner. And so for him to get agree with you and take your advice that quickly, that feeling must have been permeating the air. I mean, it must have been very strong.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely feel it. It was crazy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I've seen. I've been out with JC and had some where something came by and shook his tent. They could see the silhouette of this creature outside the tent, and JC came out of the tent and tried to catch it, tried to see it. You know, get to where he could see it. He's not exactly a guy who doesn't face his fears. So this must have been overwhelming. I mean, I can't imagine.
Oh, the funny thing is, I'm looking forward to those experiences with JC.
Well, they happen. They do happen.
Oh, yeah. I've recently joined the group, and I'm hoping that I can bring some extra talents to the group that the others don't have, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, awesome. So you're a filmmaker? Do you do films, or what's your background?
No, I'm a former Marine. As I said, I grew up in the area, and I just have like a sixth sense. I can feel different things in an area, whether it's hostile, curiosity, or even if there's nothing there.
I hope everybody caught that term, former Marine. There's no such thing as an ex-Marine, you know, and once you're a Marine, you're a Marine.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
That's right.
But I've got field experience from the Marine Corps. I've seen things when I was in the Marines, before, even after. And I could probably tell you stories that would just make your skin crawl.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. Wow. Well, you know, I think you're going to... Have you met Leonard Dan?
Yes, I have.
Super guy. You want to learn some stuff, listen to that man. He'll teach you things that are way outside the realm of normal thinking, and he's what makes him so good is he's an educated man. And he's educated in the Caucasian way, but he was raised in the old way for the Diné, the Navajo. And he can relate the two in a way that we can understand. You know, because it's hard. Most of us are so culture bound that when we're totally in a different culture with a different base, it's very hard for us to relate. But he has an ability to cross that bridge and explain things to us, and that's why I really admire him.
And that was one thing that made me really lucky where I grew up, because my babysitter was Navajo. And the first language I spoke was Navajo. It wasn't even English.
Really?
So I actually learned. I learned the customs. I learned the traditions. So I could mix them together, like Dan does, like Leonard does.
Outstanding. So what do you think? You think you're going to get to see that one of these things?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. So how long have you been out? What got you interested in looking for these strange creatures out there?
I've always been interested, even when I was a kid. I've always been interested in Bigfoot. I've been interested in UFOs and ghosts. It's just something it's been a passion of mine since I was real little.
Wow.
I've learned a lot about it, and it's just really fun to explore even more. And I feel thankful that I actually have this opportunity to work with JC and with Leonard and get to explore this field some more.
Well, I got to tell you, you picked the right people. I mean, these guys are super. Like I say, I've been into their backyard, and they've come with us into other places all across the country, the both of them, Leonard Dan and JC Johnson. And you get to know somebody when you're packed in a truck with them and you come across something very unusual together and experience things that most people don't get a chance to experience. So you really get to know somebody that way. And, you know, that camaraderie, it's like when you're in the, when you're on an assignment in the Marines, you know, you've, the people you're with become more than just friends. And that's what, I've got going here. So these are great people. You're going to learn a lot from these guys. Just pay attention, and you'll see things and learn things that'll just blow your mind. I guarantee it. These guys know what they're doing.
And that was one thing I definitely noticed when talking with JC and with Leonard about it.
So, you know, we have we should have Mitch Wade out there, who's also, he's from Arizona, and he's scheduled to be on here in a minute. Marco, is Mitch there?
You know, Mitch didn't dial in yet. He's at work, and he had to take a break.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You know, you told me that, and I'm concentrating on keeping to your schedule here, boss.
No, that's okay. What we can do is we can take Chris next, and if Mitch comes on, we'll just take him after that.
Well, okay. You know, I think you're going to enjoy working with these guys, and keep us updated. Let us know, and keep us updated on this upcoming movie. For those of you who haven't seen some of the work they do, they have DVDs out now that are available. One of them, I've got it right here in front of me, as a matter of fact, Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends. Pretty interesting stuff, you know. And of course, if you go to their website, they have a lot of videos, a lot of things. The latest one, I think, was The Shadow Man. Where they actually videoed this thing. It's just a shadow, but they talked about it, and sure enough, they were videoing out there, and they actually caught it on film. And then another was a kind of like a wolf that kind of moved in like a shadow and then disappeared again. Some amazing things out there in the desert that nobody would expect to find, but there they are. So if you get a chance, go to their site, Crypto Four Corners, and check it out. These guys are awesome. All right, so it was great talking to you, and I hope I get to meet you, and maybe we'll get to do something together one of these days.
I'm hoping so.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
I'll give you back to JC real quick.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Well,
back to the cave. You were there. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there. The cave is still very active, very rocking and rolling.
Outstanding. Hey, do you know who Chris Allen is, Stacy?
Chris Allen. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a country singer?
Yeah.
We've got him on.
You know, I was reading about that. On your website.
Yeah, yeah. Super guy. What a great sense of humor this guy has, too. Anyway, we have him on. I haven't got to talk to him in a long time. So,
Bob, what we do, what we can do is have Alex come on, and Alex can do a portion of what Mitch was going to talk about. Plus, we got some new stuff with A.K. Riley.
Stuff from A.K.
Yeah, and we'll take Chris on the time that he's designated for doing that, about another 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Guys. Have a great day.
All right.
JC,
I appreciate it. And
Marco
we'll
Bill,
be in touch.
Jabba Bob, Tom Biscardi, wherever you are, God bless all you guys. Peace.
Thank you, my brother.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, my brother. Okay.
Okay, Alex. You're on.
Hey, Marco. Hey, Marco. Hey, Jabba Bob.
Hey, my brother. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great.
And thank you for sending me that Club Med invitation.
When I talked to Mitch tonight, Java Bob and Alex, what Mitch was talking about is he had a recent photograph or a photo of one. Plus, he had been doing some other things, recent things here. And I thought maybe that he's at work right now. He's probably trying to get a break, and he probably can't get it. So I thought maybe Alex might be able to catch us up with maybe some of that, and plus, A.K. Riley had some stuff. So go right ahead there, Alex.
Well, Mitch has really been branching out lately. He was recently out of the state. I know, I don't believe he's at liberty to say exactly where he was yet, so I won't say exactly where, but let's just say he was on his... Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody was trying to get in.
No, there's nobody there.
He was on his way towards JC and beyond, let's just say that. And then he came right back. He was back for about a day, and he was right off to what we call the hot zone, which is near, we'll say, Young, Arizona. And he's got an area there he's checking that we've been checking for 3 years, and a new area, I believe, north of Young near Hagler's Creek somewhere, but we'll let him discuss that exactly. And what we want to do this year, and I think Mitch is fine with announcing it, is he wants to have a kind of a show and tell where everybody from the Arizona area and the surrounding states and Java Bob, that you would join in on this. You know, you'll be able to display your book, and I guess if you want to sell your book, we just need a permit. But we're going to do it in the Route 260 area of northern Arizona, near Pine Top, actually on the top of what's called the Young Highway. He's going to have what he calls Mogollon Monster Days. And it's basically just going to be a show and tell for all the groups from Arizona that want to be involved. And JC, if you want to come down, that would be tremendous. Everybody else will be invited. And we're hoping it is just something that will attract a little attention to people and maybe make them aware of what we're doing and maybe draw in a few more sightings and, you know, just let other people know that there's people out there that have seen the creature too. So that's one of the things Mitch is working on, and I believe he's pretty much got that down to where it's a definite, and I believe it's going to be in August. So we'll let Mitch announce the exact day, but he's talking about it all the time on the AZCRO forum. Mitch is the biggest poster there. He posts all his new material, his videos, his pictures are posted on the AZCRO forum and, of course, dual posted on his websites, his YouTube and his MogollonMonster.com website. But he shares his information with everyone. You know, it's some things are pretty amazing. Some things are probably maybe campers, but, you know, it's out there, and he's putting it out there for you guys to see. So that's the big thing, just like JC does with his videos. And another thing we want to do this year, and JC, you'd be also invited on this because this is basically your idea. We want to do the Blue Ridge Reservoir trip that JC talks about in his Giganto for Connors video. So that's a trip we're planning for later this year in Arizona, too. Java Bob?
Yes, sir. Sounds like you got lots of things planned.
Yep. Now, to slide us into the rest of the show, do we have our AK on? Do we have Steve? Who do we have?
Well,
we've got Chris Allen is next. And Chris is ready to go. He's on there. All I have to do is tell him to... Chris, are you there?
Chris. Hey, I'm here. Hi, Chris. Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, very good. Now, I don't think I've seen you since you were sitting at my dinner table for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's right. God, I miss this guy right here, Alex, man. He's such a great cook, too.
Awesome.
Yeah, are you serious?
Yeah, he's an awesome cook. I mean, he made the
best. Yeah.
Some kind of spaghetti with hair, angel hair, I think is what you called it.
With hair in it. There you go. Okay, now I understand.
And the giant meatball. My God, that was just, I have never in my life, I mean, it just made spaghetti all over again. That was like the greatest plate of spaghetti I've ever had. And then we had Thanksgiving dinner. This guy had two turkeys going, and we devoured two turkeys while we were there. And it was like, he's just a great chef.
Well, that's good to hear, except every time I've been out with him, it makes me cook. What's up with that, Alex?
I was so relieved when Rob and Alex came out and they picked me up at the airport when I flew in from I went from Charleston, West Virginia to Charlotte, to Phoenix, and then Alex and Rob came out and they picked me up and they sent me to the house and they just awesome, the meals that he made, and we got all rested up, and that's when Rob and I went up to the cabin up here up in Seligman.
Oh, outstanding. You know, Alex is a great guy, and I'm fortunate he lets me kid him a little bit, but super guy. He knows his business out there, so it's always a pleasure to work with him. So what have you been up to?
Well, we're working on our new album. I've got my management, Donna Glazier, out in the Reno, Nevada area, and she's had so many connections and things happening on our music side. We've had some held up, you know, a few problems. We had an investor that was held up overseas that I don't think he really was able to cough up what he said he was going to do, which held us up, because we have a Skip Saylor in the Beverly Hills area is going to be starting on my new album as soon as the investor gets everything together. We have one of the most dynamite albums I've ever heard. I don't care who the artist would be to record these songs. If you could just hear these new songs, they're just sensational. And Skip Saylor himself, he and his wife Lynn Saylor, if you went to skipsaylor.com, that's S-A-Y-L-O-R, he's got one of the largest studios on earth. He's recorded everybody from Garth Brooks to Guns N' Roses to Eminence and anybody you could think of. He told me that, Chris, you know, I've got a problem with a lot of people because I'm not a really friendly person, but on your voices, 1 to 10 is an 11, and I'll be glad to take you as one of my new artists that we're going to record. So we got that all ironed out. We're just waiting to get into the studio and start this new album, which, by the way, has some of the largest writers on earth out of Nashville area that have written on this. And when I'm not out here rehearsing, which that's why I spent most of my day-to-day was rehearsing for this new album, I'm out looking for Bigfoot every time I get a chance. In fact, it's warming up enough now that I should be able to go diving into the lake where I get to get these photographs that I wanted to tell you. I told you about the tracks at Sherwood Lake where they cross the lake in numerous locations. As soon as the water gets up where it's palatable, at least I'd say around 65, 70 degrees, where I won't freeze to death in my thin dive suit. I plan on getting all kinds of photos to show you these guys, the tracks up there.
Well, can't wait. I can't wait. You've talked about these many times, and of course it makes me salivate, so we're really looking forward to it. And I can't wait to hear your new album. Now, I've been real fortunate in that I got to hear some of the stuff that you've done live. And,
yes, you
man,
did.
You're a talented man. You're a very talented man, and I can't wait to pick up the album.
We're in fact, I've got a show. My next upcoming show is in North Carolina, and it was a special request. The lady out there, she has terminal cancer, and she's such a wonderful, wonderful person that we're going to try to get this turned around where that's just a bunch of hoopla. Nothing's terminal unless it's in your mind. God doesn't want you to leave. You don't have to leave this earth. But regardless, her request was for me to come out and perform for her 50th birthday, and so we're going out there to perform on the 17th for her birthday, and I may have a couple of shows in the area that I'll be doing also, which I was just out in North Carolina in her area, Lenore area, Lenore, I think it's Oak Hill. I'm not sure what the other name of the town, but it was in Lenore, North Carolina. Great show. By the way, one of my songs back when I was that we did all the time with the Marshall Tucker Band was called Can't You See? Every time I do some of the old Marshall Tucker tunes, this lady was all fired up. And said, can't you see what that woman's doing to me? About that time, she clocked this guy, knocked him backwards 15 foot. He staggered on the ground and was shaking his head as I was. I didn't miss a beat. I was right on the whole time. Can't you see what that woman's doing to me?
Well, that's y'all pretty ironic, isn't it?
I wanted to mention something about where the guy that y'all had on your conversation a little bit ago about the cave that y'all were just at. You know, there's a cave off of Highway 53 in Tennessee that I spent a lot of time camping in. In fact, I spent 3 days inside the cave. And if you could take a teacup candle and an emergency blanket, which is about 6 foot by 4 foot-ish, made out of Mylar, stretch that out inside of a cave, put a teacup candle in front of it, because you go through a crap load of batteries if you don't do this. Put that little teacup candle in front of that Mylar, it'll reflect a whole nice warm area in front of you. And we've heard so many and saw so many things inside the cave as we were exploring. But what we found inside this cave down there was a bedding area where it looked like something carried a load. Like if you'd have maybe 6 or 7 giant long leaf bags full of leaves and carried about a mile inside this cave, and they made this perfect bed on a pedestal that was a natural rock formation inside there. And it's like, wow. I mean, that was comfortable enough to sleep on. Of course, I didn't sleep on that when we camped in there. We brought our sleeping bags. We camped in. You know. But you got to watch out when you're in those caves, too, because you will find the biggest rats inside there. We heard many times what sounded like a 500-pound monster coming running at us in there. We're scrambling trying to find our flashlights to find this, you know, maybe a 3-pound rat coming running up at you or something. But when it's dark and quiet inside the cave, you it's amazing what you will find in here inside there, too.
Wow. So how's the new baby?
The new baby, Buck Wild. I get asked so many times. Oh, that's not his real name. It's like, yes, that's his real name, Buck Wild. In fact, that will probably be the first name of his own album, Buck Wild, someday. But he's doing great. He's a small baby for his size. He's a very happy baby. He's always laughing, and we take him four-wheeling all the time. He goes on all kinds of adventures. I had him out on my Honda four-wheeler today just taking him through the neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness. And how old is he now?
He's already old. He's not in school yet. He's only 3 months old. So, kidding. I haven't got him his first guitar yet, or his first, but I've had him with vocal lessons. I'll hold him while I sing, as I did with my other son, my four-year-old. I'd hold him in my arms as I rehearse, and it just they become very musically in their life when they interact with music constantly. And I've had 8 World Top 10 hit songs, I've spent a lot of time rehearsing. And so, my four-year-old, he's too big to carry in my arms, but... You know, he has a little Gibson SG toy guitar, but don't tell him it's toy. He doesn't know it's a toy guitar. He'll strap that guitar on, and that leg just goes to town like Elvis, and he's sitting there singing my songs with me. And
that is so cool.
We've had an adventure. I've had him across every state in the United States dozens of times, and he's actually sang all over the place with me. If he's not on stage with me, he's back behind stage singing back here somewhere. That's my four-year-old.
Yeah, I met him, so he's a character too. Some of those videos on your website, the one where you're with your security guy's little brother.
Yes, I do.
Marshmallows. You tell people about that because they're not going to believe it.
You know, when you're on tour, you get really bored, and if you're like me, I love pulling pranks on people, and. I had this guy, he was my security guard's younger sibling brother. He was 18 years old, and he was just constantly picking fights about things. And we're on an 18-mile class 10 hike. Now, class 1 is like a sidewalk, class 10 is like climbing obstacles, huge obstacles. We're at Sparta, Tennessee at Virgin Falls hiking this, and we're camping in hammocks along the way. While we're out there, he was like, "Hey, Chris, I heard farts are flammable." And I'm like, "No, they're not." I knew they were, but I was just like, "No, they're not." Well, it ended up, we got into an argument about this. Man, I know they are. Man, that's just some old wives' tale. They're not. But he was eating all of our beans and just eating a lot of marshmallows and drinking a few beers. And I told my wife, like, listen, if you see this guy bending over around me, you let me know somehow. She grabbed the camera and started filming, so I knew something was going on. I had a marshmallow on the stove, on the fire pit. I turned around. I poked it at him just in this perfect timing when this flame, probably 6 foot long, shot out. And removed a lot of hair on my head. I mean, I smelled a lot of burnt hair. He had a hike the rest of this 18 miles with blisters on his skin where it burned him so bad. But
well,
for a cheap $20 entertainment.
I saw that video, and he's not kidding. He's not kidding. It's classic.
Chrisallen.com. Chrisallen.com. KRISALLEN.com. Then there'll be my link that goes to my personal photos, my family photos, and my comedy photos. It's called World Famous Bubba Redneck. I used to be known as Bubba Redneck when I did a lot of jingles, comedy songs. And you click onto that, and you'll go to some of my videos. Now, I've got probably another 100 and something other videos that our plans are to get on there as soon as we get the file transferred. Right now, with the school and the newborn baby, I haven't had a chance to go to the new videos. But within, I'd say, another couple of months, we're going to have some new videos on there. Probably a whole link to at least, I'd say, 20 or 30 of them. Because I've got some of them that are just way funnier than this video that we want to put on there, where you're on the road and you're just bored and you pull pranks on people. I've got a lot of famous people that we pull pranks on, too.
I can't imagine too many being much funnier than this one. That's classic. Yes, classic. So.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been so long since we talked to you.
I've got so many of my fans that I meet out there that, you know, they know me from your show. They'll come up to me at the show, and it's like, I heard you on the radio station. It's like, the local is like, no, the one with Tom Biscardi. Like, oh, well, you know, Tom is a great person. I know all these guys. We've got to go all over the place in the United States, and good Lord, Tom spoiled us when we were out in Vegas. I mean, he's just such a wonderful host to be around. And Rob, I never felt safer when we were out there in Seligman. By the way, the people that may be listening may not know this, but when Rob and I were out there in Seligman, that's when the blizzard hit. And I got to perform out there at the pizza joint. And the interstate was shut down from Flagstaff to Kingman. I think it's like 150 miles of the interstate was shut down. So everybody in that immediate area came to this hotel that we stayed in, and everybody was at the restaurant. We had a packed house. They were singing my music to me so loud that I couldn't hear myself singing over the little PA system they had in there, which was such a cool experience.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and it was nice to talk to you again. And hopefully what we can do, Chris, I'll just keep in touch with you, and then you know, every once in a while just have you back on, see where the status is, see what's going on.
Especially thanks, Marco.
Take the photos. Give us a call, too. You know, you take the photos of the lake and stuff when it comes through, and keep in touch, and we'll keep in touch with you.
Let us know when that album comes out, and for those of you out there who are listening, find it and listen to it. You'll love his music. This guy is just a super talent. Super guy, super talent, and a pretty good sense of humor, too.
Well, thanks, Java Bob. And Alex, you out there, I can't wait to get out there and have some more of your cooking and get out and get some of these Bigfoot adventures with you with us out there. And Rob, I'm sure he's out there listening somewhere tonight, wherever they're at. Where are they at, by the way?
I'm not sure where Rob is right now. I think he went back to, he went home and he's doing some stuff with his dad for a while. But, I know that Tom had a meeting today with one of the VPs at one of the big hotels, so something going on out there. I'm not sure exactly what. So,
Chris, there'll be plenty of trips out here in Arizona if you want to come back out. We'll do some camp cooking, but we can do it just as good. In fact, we can even do a turkey if you want.
I'm looking forward to that. That sounds awesome. I'll bring my guitar and we'll have a great old time.
Oh, you know it. I would love to be there when you play at around the campfire. That's got to be so great. Marco, who's next now? We got our friend from Georgia or our friend from Kentucky?
Yeah, Chris, I want to mute you up, but hang on. We got Jan Allen coming up here. They're formulating an expedition here within the next couple of weeks here. So take care and goodbye, and we'll see you shortly.
Take care then. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys.
Okay, take care, brother. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Marco. All right, Jan, are you there?
Hold on, let me unmute Jan. Jan, how are you, my friend?
I'm here, Alex.
Hey, buddy, how are you? And how soon are you going? Is it this weekend?
No, not this weekend, but yeah, I'm doing great. We're really looking forward to it. We're going out on the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Next weekend.
Super.
Yeah.
A little bit warmer. Now, what's the area like you go in? What are you expecting? What are you going to do while you're there?
Well, we're actually in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains on the Georgia side, you know, right on the bottom. We'll be in northwest Georgia. We did 9 years of investigations up there, and our last one was in 1996, so we haven't been in since then. We went up for a one-day trip in September 2008, and we still saw some signs, you know, that they were still up in there. So we all huddled up here last few weeks and decided to just go ahead and put an expedition together and go up, spend a weekend, and just scour the whole place and see if we can find some good, you know, evidence that they're still up in there.
Super. Now, you're going to do some wood knocking. You're going to do some call blasting. Of course, I imagine you bring in equipment so you can take some castings if you find good ones. What do you got planned for while you're there?
Well, yeah, we definitely are covered up with a plaster this time. We was up in 93, and we found 15-inch tracks and 11 and 12-inch tracks, and we used all of our plaster on them, and this was right outside of our base camp. And right up on the fire road, about, 35 feet out of camp, was a perfect 21.5-inch print, and we had no plaster to pour. So we definitely... We covered plaster this time. We're carrying about 30 pounds of plaster with us. So, yeah, we're going to do some wood knocking. The call sounds really, I hadn't even thought about. We're going to put out some trail cams and hang some CDs and see if maybe we can get, you know, one of them to mess with the CDs, maybe get some fingerprints or something. We're going to send them out to y'all if we do.
Yep. Because Mitch got the capabilities now. He's becoming quite the technician. He can now take fingerprints and analyze them. He has that capability. He's learned that technique. So we didn't have anybody that could do that, so he had to learn himself, and he did. So I guess you're going to send it all to him. Is that my understanding?
Yeah. Yeah, everything can be sent to Mitch. Yeah, I talked to him. Well, yeah, I haven't talked to him on the phone or anything, but what I tell you, he's a great guy, and he's straight up. And, you know, I sent him the, what we thought was hair samples that we had found, and, you know, unfortunately, they turned out to be synthetic. But, you know, we'll keep on digging.
That's another thing he's become an expert on. He's the he's a hair sample expert, and he regularly confers with Henner Fauenbach and Bindernagel, as I do. So that's really good. And he has, you know, if he finds something authentic enough, of course, Henner wants to look at it too, and he'll compare it to the samples that he already has. And, of course, there are no known samples, but Henner has some, what we're pretty sure are Bigfoot hairs. And, of course, we know Jabba Bob and Tom have some of those too. I've seen them, and we've all seen them on the AZ Central news report that they were in, that AK was again in last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't understand, you know, maybe I'm a little back on the times on this, but on the fingerprint part of it, I mean, I know you can pull the prints, but what, as far as what do we have to compare them to?
Well, I think what he'll do is compare them to other human prints. I don't know if there's any known hand or footprint, you know, with that much dermal ridges. I know those guys in Texas had the print on the car, I think was later found to be one of them.
Right.
And I believe one of the Arizona guys, Vic, had a similar handprint. Now, I don't know if Mitch has access to that to compare it to, but I believe that's what he's going to do. And just compare it to a human print, see if it's different. It's probably going to be very similar one way or the other anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Well, according to Jimmy Chilcutt, the ridges actually run a slightly different direction than they do on a human, but very similar.
On the feet, I don't know if he has any handprints, Bob. Does he have handprints? I know he found the handprint on the truck that I was talking about to be a human print. One of the guys there is probably most of them, but... he's too far away to come this far west to Arizona, so Mitch had to learn that technique himself, and he's got it down pretty good.
Well, heck,
yeah,
Dan, I just wanted to, Jan, I just want to, we got to go to our next guest here shortly. We're running out of time, but Jan, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing with us, and then if you don't mind, I mean, I'll give you a call there next week to see how you're doing. And if you want, we can get you back on the show to give us some of your results of your expedition.
Not a problem. I would be more than happy to give y'all a full update on what went on.
Thank you so much.
Jan, quickly say the name of your organization again. And everyone knows that there's a section for your activity, your data, and your post on the AZCRO forum. But what's the name of your organization? What do your initials stand for?
Okay, it's Georgia Bigfoot Research and Investigation. It's GBRI.
And do you have your own website up yet? Give it a quick plug.
Yeah, it's at www.wix.com/JC Allen/Sasquatch.
And if that's too hard to remember, guys, there's a link to it at his section in the AZCRO forum. Thanks, Jan. Marco, who you got next?
Well, Jan, thank you so much, and we'll get in touch with you. I'll get in touch with you next week when you're back.
Okay, no problem. I look forward to it.
Take care now.
Bye bye. Uh huh. Bye bye.
We got Steve Dismore, our good buddy Steve.
My
and,
best friend.
What I got to do here is hold on. Let me find out what happened. He dropped off, 270, he's gone.
Well, that Steve can be pretty sneaky sometimes, huh?
I don't think he meant to, but
well, I know he didn't.
Maybe his phone went dead. The battery.
You know, it's a possibility. He's he's quite a guy.
Well, hold on, I'll tell you how much time we got. We don't have much. We got 4 minutes, so we got about 2 minutes to talk about what's going on in the SFBI in the future.
Well, you know, I know that Tom is looking at getting back on the road pretty soon here, but he's so tied up right now with some of these business things that he's doing. He's got too many oars in the water, you know. He's trying to get everything done. I don't know how he does it. He's you know how Tom is. He just gets his heels in and makes things happen. So it's hard for me to schedule. You know, Alex, you've heard me say this. The guys that have been out on the road, when Tom says, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that, and they get all excited. I said, no, wait. Tom gets, he's just always going, like with me, he says, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that. I stay packed. I'm packed right now. He'll tell me we're going tomorrow. And when he calls me and says, I'll be there in 30 minutes, is when I figure we're going.
Could be 6 weeks from now, right?
That's right. It depends, because he'll get a phone call on the way there and turn around and go somewhere else. You know, he's got so much going on all the time, you just never know.
Lot of people are asking about the next Bigfoot Live, or the next Bigfoot Lives movie follow-on. Does anybody have any info on it?
Well, I know that, that's all we could say, too. What's happened is we have Brian Mazzola has gotten all these things done. You know, he's working on all these movies and working on all the stuff. He's got all the rough footage, but does he have to get this all put together in a format that we can use? But he's got to do it in a time that doesn't interfere with his business either. Now, you know, he does freelance documentary work for some of the major news broadcasting companies. He's all over the world. He goes to the Middle East and whatnot. So his time is very tightly scheduled as well. Now the logistics of putting that all together.
Oh, Bob, I'm sorry. We got 1 minute. Both Alex and Bob, just say goodbye to everybody, and we'll see everybody next week, and I'll close it out.
Well, thank everybody. Thank you, everybody, for coming and listening to us, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you to all our guests, and thank you, Marco, for doing what you do, doing the magic that you do every week.
I love every minute of it. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. And Larry, I know you're out there. Thank you. And Bob, you know, quickly, Larry, you were ruled out as a cross-contaminant in the DNA. Java Bob confirmed that with me, you and your buddy. Good night, everybody. Good night, Marco. Great job.
Bye-bye.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sunlight.
And everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a
primitive manufacturer.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team, for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.